On the phone right now is Mrs. Hillary Clinton, and our panel consists of Roland Martin, Don Lemon, Jackie Reed, and Reverend Al Sharpton. Good morning, Mrs. Clinton.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Election Day.
Yes.
And to you.
And I can't wait for you to win this whole thing so I can get back in the White House and do the Soul Train line with you again.
Well, you know what? For all your listeners, if you were ever in doubt why this is important and why I hope to earn your vote, you just heard another reason. We need to bring it back.
All right. First question from our panel, Don Lemon. Don Lemon, your question.
Here's my question. My question pertains to a couple of different things. Trust. Do people trust you? Do people have an issue with that? Also, some people say that you pander too much to certain demographic groups, and likability. And here's what I want to ask you, Secretary Clinton. People say they do like you, even though you have a strong factor where people say they don't. People, for the most part, do like you. And I'm wondering, as this goes on, though, people say they like Bernie Sanders more. They start to like Bernie Sanders more. Are you concerned that your firewall, when it comes to trust, when it comes to likability, when it comes to people of color, are you concerned that that firewall is now smoldering and that you may lose it the longer this election goes on?
Well, the short answer is no, Don, I'm not. I'm not worried about that at all. Let's just inject a few facts here. I have gotten more votes than anybody running. I've gotten 600,000 more votes than Donald Trump. I've gotten 1.6 million more votes than Bernie Sanders. I feel really good about where we are. I've gotten a very significant higher number of pledged delegates. I see all this, and I know folks like to talk about it, and I get it. But let me just say this. Every job I've ever had, people have trusted me. You know, go back and look at, you know, after I won the race to be senator in New York, I worked as hard as I could. And by the time I ran again, I had even higher numbers and a bigger vote. When I was Secretary of State, consistently, I was often ranked among the most effective, trustworthy people in public life. So let me just cut to the chase. When I'm in office, I do a job that people know they can count on, and that I will produce results for them. When I run, and I honestly don't know all the reasons for this, there's lots of speculation and analysis, but when I run, you know, the Republicans try to, you know, engender a lot of negativity about me, but I've always worked with them. I've always gotten things done once I have a position of responsibility, and I'm confident that will happen again.
Sybil?
Mrs. Clinton, your Secretary Clinton, your husband is one of the few people that we know that knows all three verses of Lift Every Voice and Sing, the Negro National Anthem. Would like to know, are you one that also knows all three verses of the Negro National Anthem?
This is Sybil. this is a very important question, one I've never been asked for. I don't know by heart all three verses. What I will say is my husband actually has a really good voice, so he has an incentive to actually learn all the words of Lift Every Voice or other important songs. I have to mumble because when I do sing, people, you know, shush me. And so I've never felt comfortable doing much more than, you know, singing in my heart, which is what I will continue to do.
Roland Martin, next.
All right, then. Secretary Clinton, long time no chat.
I don't want to ruin your reputation, Roland, but I thought you were excellent the other night.
He was, and
I appreciate it.
You were. And you know, I really did think it was a well presented, and the questions were thoughtful. The people, you know, were very impressive. Everybody who had a question, they were hard questions too. So thanks.
I appreciate it. So we got another hard question here. Republicans have made it clear that they are going to obstruct, won't even meet with a nominee, a Supreme Court nominee of President Barack Obama. I have been a consistent and loud advocate that it is time, now is the time for a black woman to be on the Supreme Court. First and foremost, do you believe it is time for a black woman? And if President Obama nominates a black woman and Republicans do not even give her a vote, if you win the presidency, would you renominate that black woman to the Supreme Court?
Well, Roland, there's a whole lot of assumptions there. And, I support the president 100%. And I want him to nominate whoever he chooses. But I will tell you this. I do think we have a significant number of qualified, ready, prepared African-American women. I think that that is a very important consideration. And certainly, if he nominates somebody that he thinks is going to do the job and hopefully break the logjam of the Senate, of course I would stick with that person and do everything I could. And it would be nice to have the entire country well represented on the Supreme Court. But I don't want to substitute my judgment for the president. I've talked with him. I've talked with people around him. They are determined not only to fulfill their constitutional responsibility, but to make the pressure on the Senate so enormous that they have to fulfill their constitutional responsibility. So I really don't want to, second guess whatever the president's going to do.
But if I heard you correctly, you said if he did appoint a sister and the Republicans wouldn't even give her a hearing, you would stick with that nominee if you win the presidency.
Yes, if I win the presidency.
Got
another
it.
Reason. Another reason in addition to line dancing. I hope everybody comes out and votes.
All right.
And could I say, hey Tom, could I say something just real quickly here? I did a call early this morning with a station in North Carolina, and it just broke my heart as the very energetic young woman on the radio said, "Now remember, everybody, you got to bring your ID. You got to bring." And then she listed like five or six things that could be required for people to show, everything from driver's licenses to birth certificates. It just made my stomach turn. And, North Carolina is one of the most oppressive places now when it comes to...
Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yes, Secretary Clinton, good morning. First of all, I would warn you that Tom is not exactly the way he used to be on that Soul Train line. It's been a few years.
That's tough, Reverend Al. That's tough.
Well, I mean, he can still do it, but don't look for no splits or nothing like that.
It's a tough room. It's a tough room.
But I'm speaking to you from Rikers Island, where I'm touring with the police, corrections commissioner. And in fact, I remember when I was an inmate at a federal jail, you came and visited me and three others for protesting in Vieques. So it's ironic I'm talking to you. In fact, you arranged for me not to have to do all of our time in Puerto Rico for protesting the bombing in Vieques. But having said that, it brings to mind the criminal justice system, which we're dealing with out here. And the question of an attorney general, former Attorney General Eric Holder's endorsed you, and he initiated some real concrete steps toward dealing with mandatory sentencing of nonviolent offenders and of dealing with the profit in mass incarceration. Would you be in appointing a new attorney general looking for someone that would be in line with the thinkings of Attorney General Holder and Attorney General Lynch in continuing to deal with the issue of mass incarceration for profit in terms of private prisons and in terms of continuing to deal with nonviolent offenders in mandatory time?
Yes, 100%. I am honored to have Eric Holder's endorsement. I believe that he laid down some markers and took some actions that I want to build on. For example, I want to end private prisons. I think it is an abdication of responsibility to turn over something as important as corrections to private firms that have an incentive to, you know, frankly, fill their beds. I find it outrageous. And I want to also end private family detention centers that are used to maintain, you know, people, undocumented immigrants. So, yes, and I would add to this, Reverend Al, that I think what Attorney General Holder started, and I have the highest regard for his excellent successor, Attorney General Lynch, what they started, we have to build on and continue. It needs to go to criminal justice reform as well as incarceration reform. And I look forward to taking action very early in my term on these issues.
All right. Jackie Reed.
Good morning, Secretary Clinton. Now, there are many who say systemic racism hindered President Obama's progress in the White House, but we never really hear him talk about racism he's faced as president. How have you dealt with sexism in your political career, and could it hinder your progress if elected president?
I think that's a really good question, because the president has faced, as you all know well, implacable hostility to so much of his agenda. And an effort to delegitimize his presidency from the very beginning. One of the people who was part of that, as you know, is Donald Trump. I think he's handled all of it with, you know, incredible grace and grit. But he has, you know, pushed forward on not only government action to deal with systemic racism, but also philanthropic activities like Our Brothers Keepers and other kinds of efforts that both he and Michelle Obama have done. I think I have a free hand, or a freer hand, because of his presidency to do what I'm doing out on the campaign trail, talking about systemic racism and also really asking white people to, you know, begin to think about all of the evidence of systemic racism in the economy, in the criminal justice system, disparities in health care, education. And I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to do it through the campaign. If I'm in the White House, I'm going to do it.
But what about sexism? Do you think that it could hinder your progress if elected president?
You know, I never thought about it hindering me as a senator or secretary of state. Again, when I'm in a position doing the job, which is really what I'm committed to, I always feel like people, whether they like it or not, or whether they frankly entertain sexist views, they come around to understanding and supporting what I'm doing.
Okay. One last question. And if you had to choose one of these fictional running mates, would it be Olivia Pope from Scandal, Frank Underwood from House of Cards, or President Palmer, Dennis Haysbert from 24?
Oh, look, this is easy. Olivia Pope. That is so easy. Not only has Carrie endorsed me and cut that amazing Shonda Rhimes and Viola Davis,
yeah.
But, I mean, she's got what it takes. And I'll tell you, you know, I'd put her on any ticket.
All right.